Your name, please?
My name is Burl Ives.
And your position and occupation?
My occupation is singer, actor. My position, I guess, is precarious.
Mr. Ives, do you find that music reflects the times that a people live in?
My viewpoint is no.
This is Viewpoint, an unrehearsed and personal interview with another distinguished and well-known personality who will reveal to you, the American public, what he holds to be the responsibilities of his position in American life, produced by the Episcopal Church and brought to you as a public service by this station. Mr. Kennedy's guest today is Burl Ives, Academy Award winner, motion picture and recording star, whose current album is The Versatile Burl Ives. Here is the moderator of the award-winning series, Viewpoint, the Reverend Dana F. Kennedy. Mr. Kennedy.
Welcome to Viewpoint, Mr. Burl Ives, and thanks for inviting me here to your home. Why do you feel that music does not reflect the times? Is this something you've observed?
Well, music is a thing that exists from many centuries, and the music that one hears on the radio and in records and in concert halls is music of the ages. And so we can't say that the music that one hears reflects the times that one lives in.
What I would like to know is what happens in the lives of people in which the writer of the music lives. Does this make a difference? Does he speak from this kind of knowledge?
Well, I think that in general, except for popular music, the music that is written at a time is not accepted, actually, until many years later.
In time of war, do you get a different kind of music created than you get in a time of prosperity and peace?
I think so, yes. I think that the greatest song, the greatest American song, is the Battle Hymn of the Republic. I think it is very deep, and I think it's a very, very great song. However, we must compare that with a lead of Schubert, which was written in a time, say, of peace.
Is there any truth to the saying that a real composer just can't help himself? He has to compose, he has to create this thing that's inside him?
In general, I believe that any music, any poem, or any work of art is a result of something that is burning within a human being and it's got to come out. But that usually is something much more poignant than a commercial job of delivering a tune to somebody for a purpose.
Mr. Ives, what is the essence of folk music?
This is a case of semantics. It's like the ballad, you know. Martin Downey's Irish songs, they used to say, is a ballad. Well, that is not a ballad to me. A ballad is Barbara Allen, or Frank Sinatra, they say, sings a ballad. It's very hard to tag what is meant by folk, because it has many, many meanings, and some people have attempted to define it. I cannot define it in the words that are at my command, but I can smell it, I can feel it, I know the difference. As if I know that this is one kind of material and this is another, this is corduroy here, and let's say this is silk. So I can tell in that manner. But that's the only way I can tell. It's very hard to tag.
Well, what are the symptoms inside yourself that you recognize that this is a folk song and this one is not a true folk song?
Well, I smell it, that's all. I mean, I know I can look at the sky and I know it's blue.
Is this something that a person is born with, or is this something that is...
Oh, well, definitely, yes. Many people that I know can't do this because they don't have this capacity. That just happens to be something that I'm gifted with.
Does folk music, by and large, come out of the heart and experience of generations of people?
I would think so. However, well, let's take the Blue Tail Fly, which is now considered a folk song. It's actually a minstrel song, commercial song written for a minstrel. And so here is a song written to make money, which is a folk song. So you cannot generalize in this regard. Maybe one of the commercial songs of one of our musical shows today might have the quality that would take it one day into this area. I don't think that we can make any rules, you know. It's a dangerous thing to make rules. The very minute you start making rules, you get yourself caught up.
You got to start breaking them up. I wondered, though, in the matter of folk music, I had a feeling that perhaps that which was accepted as true to the experience of generations of people might make it a folk song. I happen to believe that most things are created by individuals. I don't think committees, for example, or groups create too much. I don't know whether this is true or not, but I wondered in folk music if it doesn't have to be accepted as being true to the heart and the experience of more than just one generation of people.
I don't believe committees create anything, but I think people through time, the same kinds of people take the same thing that's been created and add to it, and thereby bring in a committee through a long period of time. I believe that the creation can take in a number of people.
I'm curious about music as it relates to children. Is there any peculiar attributes which children have for appreciating music that perhaps they lose as they get older?
Yeah, they're completely honest and unfeeling toward the artist himself.
Is this a good thing or a bad thing?
Very good.
Do children have an instinctive appreciation of music?
I believe so. But you see, the music that I make is largely literary and not musical in a sense.
What do you mean by that?
The tune is rather less important than the words and the ideas. So when you ask that question, I must say that in my experience, in my work with children, singing to them, I'm working in a literary medium rather than a musical medium. Although I'm a singer, I'm in the same business of Sarnoff. I'm in communication here with words.
But the children have a great appreciation for this, don't they? They
oh,
like
yes.
Jingles, they like words, they like ideas.
Oh, yes, but they're completely unfeeling and honest. I mean, they would, if they don't like it, they'll walk right out on you.
Well, this is probably a good thing.
The personality has little to do with it in children. I remember one home I went into where there was a little child, and the family said, "Oh, isn't this wonderful? Here's Burl Ives." And the little child looked at me, and he said, "No." And he pointed to the machine and said, "There's Burl Ives, to the record."
Do you think that music, both the literary part of it and the music itself, are a necessary part of a child's early experience?
Necessary, I don't know, but I think certainly quite wonderful for a child to develop an imagination through these songs, which are imaginative and colorful. I had a theory about the Grimm's fairy stories, which they quit letting children hear in the past 25 years because they thought it would disturb them. I've wondered if this were not one of the reasons for the juvenile delinquency that we have today, because the children were not frightened when they were small, you know.
Mr. Ives, do you find that various sections of the country create various kinds of music?
That I couldn't say. I think some parts of the country, depending upon the ethnical group they came from, have or have had a type of music, but with the great leveling that has come with the electronics in our lives, I wouldn't at this point be willing to say, or I don't know.
Mr. Ives, what effect does an audience have upon the interpretive performer?
That depends upon the audience.
The audience then has an effect.
Yes, it can be very good or very bad.
Is it easier to work with an audience or to work in front of a camera where there is no audience?
It's easier to work for an audience. Why assuming that it is a good one.
Who? What makes it a good one? Is it something they bring with them, or is it something you give to them?
It's something of the moment. I mean, it either is or it is not. I don't know, it's some kind of electricity or communication between a performer and an audience. Sometimes they're good and sometimes they're bad. Now, I hate to say that this is either the audience or it might be the atmosphere, it might be the pressure, it might be the humidity, it might be a thousand things, but everyone is different. And I suppose the performer himself is different at each time.
I wondered if you ever had any feeling yourself as you go before an audience. Is it something you look ahead to with anticipation?
Oh, yes.
Because the
experience... Sometimes anticipation and sometimes fright.
Because because the performance does something to you. I mean, it gives you a satisfaction too, I suppose.
The satisfaction is after it's over.
In evaluating what you did and what the audience... Yes,
because at the time you have no time for that kind of nonsense. I mean,
do you think if it's been a good experience and the audience has been favorably disposed, that the audience goes away changed as individuals in any way? Has anything been added to them?
Oh, I believe so.
What?
I know so.
What?
What it is, I don't know. But it's like the thing you asked me a while ago. I think it's the best thing in man.
Mr. Ives, I'd be curious to know what your feeling is about success. Do you find that it makes any great difference to you as a person?
Well, first we have to define success.
I think success, in your particular case, is whether you have achieved the things which you really want to achieve in order to satisfy you that you've become the best person that you want to become.
Of that I have not managed, Father. One has goals in his professional life or his doing, you know, and but the very minute you get to one, you know, the next mountain is so much higher that there's no end to this. So in this particular area, we cannot ever consider success because there's no such thing, because at any point, the next mountain is so much higher and there's no such thing.
May I ask, Mr. Ives, what are the satisfactions you get from your work?
Well, they're hard to describe. I am satisfied after a performance, but never content.
Thank you very much, Mr. Burl Ives, for being with us and for giving us your viewpoint.
It's been a pleasure.
This has been Viewpoint, an unrehearsed personal interview with another distinguished and well-known personality, produced as a public service by the Division of Radio and Television of the Protestant Episcopal Church. Today's guest was Burl Ives, Academy Award winner, motion picture and recording star, whose current album is The Versatile Burl Ives.